Since Ruven and Levi, we're learning the book Gan HaShalom. We're in the third chapter. We're on page 70 in the Hebrew version. Talking about the concept of putting our wife in first place. Above everything else, number one priority. Rav Arash writes as follows. Lachen tzarech habal, therefore a husband needs. La'asot et zeh yishuvdat. He needs to have a settled mind, to be clear. Shelo yeh tipesh, and not be stupid. Don't be dumb. V'yeda, you should know. Adif levatel ezo sha'ah k'she ishto mevakeshet. It's much more preferable and sensible to cancel, forego an hour that your wife asks for you to help her. And then she will be always happy. But he ten lo chofesh and give you freedom. Rather than, much better to do that than to be stubborn and to stand by your position, to hold your position. For example, to tell her that now really is not a good time for you. Why are you disturbing me? I'm in the middle of work. Can't we do this later? Not a good idea. Be'emsa pagisha chashuva, or be'emsa halimud chulei. I'm in the middle of a meeting, an important meeting, or in the middle of learning. Right? If that happens, your wife still has to come first. For a start, if a person is going to be, let's put it this way, not smart, and he's going to answer his phone in the middle of a meeting, I don't know about other people, but I think it's one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. A person answering his phone and saying, I can't speak to you right now. So don't answer it. Don't answer it. It's the most dumb thing in the world. Picks the phone and says, not now. What are you thinking? You don't, like a person has like some umbilical cord to his phone that if it rings, he has to answer it, even if to tell them, go away, leave me, I'm not answering, right? I'm not answering. What are you doing? Put it down, leave it. Don't listen, say, yes, oh, hi, it's you, I'm not speaking to you right now, right? Forget about your wife. If it's someone else, it's not nice to tell them, right, I know you're calling me, but I'm not going to speak to you right now. Meaning, if it was someone else, I would, but for you, no. Because otherwise, I wouldn't have picked it up. Why would I have picked it up? For someone else important, maybe. I'm kavachome for your wife, right? Kavachome for if you answer the phone to your wife and then you tell her you can't speak to her because there's something more important going on right now. Right? I mean, it's just a crazy state of affairs. It's just really not a smart move on many accounts. Right? For a start, if you're going to be in a shiur and you can't speak to your wife, that's also fine. You turn the phone off, you don't answer it, you're free. But don't pick it up and say, I'm in the middle of a shiur, sorry, can't speak to you, bye. And for sure, don't do it in shiur. I mean, people who like, who are in the middle of davening, say, sorry, I'm davening. Hello! I'm davening, yes, and what are you doing with that thing in your hand? How can you say everything like oxymoron, I'm davening? No, you don't. It's interesting, two days ago, I can't remember, time flies. I was davening mincha back in the shul back home in my yeshud. And the guy went up to daven. No, a friend of mine went up to Bishliach Tzibur, said Ashrei, said Kaddish. Everyone took three steps forward. And everyone starts davening. As he takes three steps back, his phone rings. I'm watching him. So he picks it up. I'm thinking, no. And then I'm thinking, he's picking up to turn it off. Must be. Puts it to... yeah. Anyway, it dawns on me. He's a doctor. He's a doctor and he was on call. So Yossi was on call. So I'm watching him and I'm thinking to myself, well, I meant to start davening when the Shliach Tzibur starts. So I'm going to hold my place and wait till he finishes. And then when he's... Everyone else has started because they're just fine.
They're going.
But he's the Shliach Tzibur, he hasn't started. So I'll wait. Anyway, so he's on the phone and he's like... And he starts looking around and he's like, oh... Anyway, so I went over and I... You need to... He's like, yeah. So I kind of switched in with him. Because I was the only one left because everyone else was davening. But generally speaking, unless you're a doctor on call, do not answer the phone in the middle of the shore. And certainly not if you're the Schleier Civil. But Tom, and if it's your wife, what are you going to do? If you're prepared to answer the phone and she says, "I need to speak to you," and you walk, and fine, then fine, walk out the shore, and you know that your wife's more important than your feet, if that's where you're holding and whatever's going on. But not to kind of put yourself in this position. You just threw yourself into a pit for no apparent reason. I can't speak to you right now. It's not going to make channel
noise. The only time that really works is when you're on the bus and you really can't hear the phone. Then I say, "I'm on the bus. I'll call you back."
Right, right.
But they understand that because they can hear the noise in the background.
Okay, so you're fair. If it's an important call, your wife, Tov, needs to know when, whatever, then, or, what? All right. Then you've got a reason. But most of the time, we don't have a reason. Puzzling in the middle of, in my old job as a lawyer, many times I sat in a meeting, right? An important meeting, so you can't take calls in the middle of a meeting. But people would answer their phone and say, "I'm in the meeting, can't talk." So don't talk. Tell her later.
Voicemail.
Yeah, text. "I'm in the meeting." Okay, anyway. So, v'chein b'mikrem acharim. And so in other cases too. Because you want se'kach, but he wants se'acharet. Husband wants something, and his wife wants something else. Right, what do you do? When you don't see eye to eye on everything, right? Everything's fine. The preparations for the wedding are going fine, relatively speaking. And then you have a wedding list. You have a wedding list where you go to a certain store and you pick out what you want, and then your guests can just buy directly from the store.
Wedding registry.
Wedding registry, your fee. A wedding registry, right? That's what I had. I had a wedding registry, and I went to the store with my wife to pick out the things to put on the list. Disaster. within 10, 15 minutes, she was in tears. Right? Yeah, everything was like, "What's going on?" I didn't even know what's going on. She wanted blue, I wanted pink. She wanted, what? You got a different opinion than me. That was a disaster. We're like, up until then, everything was like, "She's fine, this is the perfect one, and everything's fine, and it's all going to be smooth, and we're all going to love everything we want is the same, we're on the right page, we're all together, we've got the same ideas." And then, turns out, I like blue and she likes pink. And I don't know anything about what Rabbi says, so I'm like, "Well, why can't we have the blue one? We'll let you get a pink one, I'll get a blue one. Why? What's the..." No. Ari said, if he wants something and she wants something different, you've got to give in. First place means first place above me too. Right? First place means first place above what I want. If she wants to make soup for dinner and I fancy a steak, soup is great. Wonderful. Putting her in first place above me. If you're going out to eat, I don't know, such a thing, we used to go out to eat in the old days, right? And she wants to eat fish and you want to eat in a meaty restaurant, she likes pizza, right? Fine, whatever you want. We have to drop what we want and put her plate in first place, even above what I want, above what my taste is, right? Cancel myself and put my wife in first place. Hey, David.
I once heard that if she's not sure what she wants for supper, if she's not sure what the other wants for supper, you shouldn't say to her, "What's it easier for you to make?" No, she wants to hear something concrete. "Yeah, I want spaghetti, I want pizza, I want..." Then she's happy. If in that situation, then you have to...
Yeah.
She's like, "What do you mean, you're not sure?" No, I want to know something concrete. I want to make you happy.
Right, it's a good point. Yeah. So... she doesn't want me to be wishy-washy, to have no opinion. She wants me to have an opinion. And the exact case you're talking about, I fell into myself. I really don't care. Whatever you want to make is really good for me. And I thought, like most husbands think, that if they're being nice and they're being generous and being a good husband, then whatever you want, you know, that's what, whatever you want, really, it's good. But then after the 20th time, 200th time, right, she asks you what you want, you know, I don't care. What it comes across, it's not, it doesn't come across as whatever you want, I'm happy that you decide, and you, I'm fully behind you, I'm with you. It comes across as, I don't care. Whatever you make, I don't care. Right? That's how it feels, and that's how it can come across. So she wants to know that I do care, that whatever she makes really is good. And if I can give her that feeling that whatever you make really is great, then that can also be fine. But she's also happy, is very happy when she does make me what she knows I want, because then it makes her feel good. So it's one of those occasions where, as a man, we need to learn to just be a giver, right? There are givers and takers. The woman is the receiver, and we are the giver. And that needs to be, Bezrat Hashem, if we're doing it properly, 100% of the time. 100% of the time, we give, only give, because it's our job to give. And it's a woman's job to receive, right? It's the male and female counterpart. The same in physiology. It's the same in many cases of the what it means to be male and female. But in some cases, to give means to receive. It means to allow your wife to give to you is also a giving. So the fact that she wants to make me something, and I say, yeah, yeah, please, can you make me an omelette? That would be wonderful. Right? It's a taking on my part, which is really a form of giving. I'm allowing her to give. That's a, but it has to come from a place of me wanting to allow her to give, not I want to stuff my face, give me, right? So it's a higher level. It's not such a pashut thing that we can, right, use that now. Whatever I want, this is really a giving. It's not really a giving. I'm allowing you to look after me. Yeah, you know. Right, you're just taking. Right? Because we have a Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara wants to take. So it's a difficult one. But here, in most cases, we need to give. What does give mean? Give means to give way. Give into our wife. Make her first place. First place above other people. First place above other things that we want to be doing. First place above our own personal tastes. On our own personal opinions. Right? If I think Obama is great and she thinks Obama is not, why am I even thinking of arguing? Like, what possible game can I have of convincing her that she's wrong and I'm right? I mean, that's just an ego trip that is really just the Yetzer Hara jumping up and down, and it's going to end in a no good place.
I'm glad you brought this up, because I want to know how far this goes. Let's say she says, and you have to vote like I vote. You have to. I'm gonna be screaming hysterical unless you vote for Obama like me.
So, there are two answers. One answer is, Hashem created you with free choice, and Hashem is above your wife. You have free choice. And the other answer is, if you're sensible, you'll go with whatever your wife says. Because it doesn't really. Truth, it doesn't matter.
Really, for voting?
It doesn't. Yeah, yeah, 100% for voting. Your vote. I don't want to burst your bubble, but I'm going to let you into a secret. Your vote didn't make any difference whatsoever to what happened over there in the big old US of A with 40 other billion people who were also casting them, right? Everyone together makes a different yoffie, but you personally, if you give it to your wife, they don't, CNN, CBS, they don't make a difference, they don't make that announcement, they don't change their poll, they don't do nothing. Nothing happens.
Let's say there's 500,000 votes.
It's not going to happen. You don't have to worry.
You don't have to worry.
You don't have to worry, right? Okay. Hashem is looking after things.
Just go ahead and Hashem is. That's what
I'm saying you don't have to, but if you've got, I'm using his lashon here, the heading of this section. If you've got eyes in your head, meaning if you've got a brain, then you will,
wow.
Right? Because what are you gaining? You're gaining.
What
are you gaining? What am I gaining?
You must not vote for Obama. It's very important. You know, this is what I say that you must do, and it could ruin America,
okay,
if you don't vote.
So then I'm going to let you into another secret,
okay,
that I'm cautiously saying on tape, but we have to be very careful how to use this. But it's true halacha.
Okay.
You're allowed to lie for shalom bayit.
Ah, okay.
I'll go with what you said, and then go with what your wife said. You can do that. You're allowed to insert. You're not allowed to use that as a willy-nilly, free-all, I'll be home in 5 minutes, and really I'm going to be there, right? Right? I'm not allowed to lie to you. So you have to use it very carefully, but yes, okay. And that's the sort of case where I think, I'm not a posek, but I think that you could probably use that.
But you'd have to follow your rav. You wouldn't say, oh, my wife comes above the rav.
Yeah, and if you have a real conviction that, I know, a baba came to you in a dream and said, vote for me, whatever. But you just had a real, then again, fine, even if your rav didn't say it, it was just going to tear you up for years that you never voted, and your vote could have made the difference, and top, right?
Okay.
For peace of mind.
When it comes to elections and everything else like that, it's nonsense, and also you have to remember that with the Democrats, their ruling is
all right, let's
elderly and dead or alive.
And the principle that overrides even that supreme comment is that Hashem is running the whole show, so don't worry.
Exactly.
Hashem's the, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're red, they're blue, they're in, they're out. It doesn't make no difference. Top. What matters is what is my ratzon, right? Hashem looks at my ratzon. That's what matters, not who's top. Anyway, so what's he saying? So he's saying, if you've got one opinion and she thinks something else, or shehu mevin kach vehi mevina achret, you understand something one way and she understands it another, right? You're sitting there helping your daughter do her math homework, right? And she's doing long division. And long division I did 27 years ago, and more, 45 years, whatever it was. The way I did it was this. And my wife says, no, I didn't learn that way. I learned a different way. Fine. Right. Even if you think she's got it completely wrong, why do I need to be I don't need to be right. A person who needs to be right, especially in a married situation, in any other situation too, right? There's a midah, a bad midah, yetzahara, called nitzachon, which is the need to win. The need to be right. I've got to get the last word. I've got to be right. I can never see myself as wrong. Yofi. That's something we need to work on and get rid of. Right? And one of those things is always, it for sure comes up with your wife, because Hashem is going to say, this is going to be your testing ground, particularly. Right? Should we turn right or left here? Right? I know it's quicker to go right. It might be quicker in the car, but it's long, much longer on the way. You know, right? You're going to feel the length of time that you're going to... You're going to wish it was quicker, right, to get out of the car by the time you finished, right? No, you think it's right, we're going to go right. Right, so fine. And then you realize that you actually went 10 kilometers the wrong way. Fine. Whatever you lost on the clock, you gained in the marriage, right? She's, if in doubt, go with your wife. And even if not in doubt, go with your wife, right? That's the principle. I mean, it's just practical. Shem wants me to go with my wife. He wants me to know that I'm absolutely 100% right, and to be able to levater on it, to give it up. I'm 100% clear I'm right. This is exactly how you do that long multiplication. This is exactly the way to get to Super Soul quicker than, right, to avoid the traffic, whatever it is. I know, it's obvious to me. I was here last week. I did this morning. Right, you haven't even been here, you don't even know the road, right? So it's clear 100%, and Hashem is saying, right now, I'm seeing how you're going to go. What's more important for you? More important is your wife, or more important is you to be right? It's a big yetzahara to be right. Makes me feel good, particularly if I had a bad day, or whatever it is. Right? To be right. It's very hard. Okay, what else? Or b'inyanei kesafim, chinuch. Rav Aris says, even in matters, financial matters, or in matters of education, right? What to spend money on, right? Do we need a new toaster oven? Right, well, we haven't got much in the bank account. My wife wants a new toaster oven. You buy a new toaster oven. Or I think we do need another one. Come on, we need another. And your wife says, no. Let's not get it now. And the answer is, let's not get it now. Education? Same too. For a start, you show always this to your wife, and for a second thing, your wife understands your kids much better than you. She has Bina. She's got a much stronger connection to your kids. And to your kids. To her kids. So, even in matters of education, if you have a difference of opinion, right, your daughter came home late. She didn't tell you where she was. And you're upset. You didn't tell me where you were going. and you came past the time that we agreed, right, and your wife says to you, don't say anything, leave it. Like, what do you mean leave it? Girl, she needs it. No. It means your wife knows better than you. You should leave it. The reason why I want to say, no, this is not acceptable, what you need to do is tell us. And I'm going to give all beautiful, we were worried or whatever. She knows better, right? Even though right now I think that I know better, no, I need to listen. So even in those matters, right? Levatel. We're not here to decide stuff. We're here to levatel. Basically, if you have a rule, we're here to be humble, to nullify ourselves. Yes?
That's really hard. Because if you had a good answer of what to do with the political thing, the chinuch is even harder. The rab says that the kids should do a certain thing, go to a certain school.
Yeah.
And the wife says, no, it should be something else. And you can't lie to her, it's impossible. There's no shalom lies lying because they're going to end up at a school and she's going to know what school
okay.
it is.
So what do you do? So you've got two options. Get another rab or get another wife. You can't have a rab that goes against your wife. Literally. If your rav goes against your wife, he's not your rav for you. Your rav is not allowed to go against your wife.
So in other words, you could both go together to the rav and try to work
He can advise
out.
You, for example, he can say, well, in my opinion, this school is better for you. But if your wife feels differently, then for sure he can't overrule your wife.
Wow, okay.
Can't do that. And if he does, he's the wrong rav.
Wow, okay.
And if he tells you to vote for someone, then for sure he's the wrong one. Lo yamod al shalom. Right, a person shouldn't, a husband shouldn't stand on his own ground, shouldn't be stubborn. V'yiten la liyot harishona b'chodavai. Should let his wife be the priority in everything. Shehi hakovat. That she's the one that decides, that fixes it. Even if it's really you, if you can let her think it's her, even better. Right? You want to buy a house. I like this house. I think we should buy this house. What am I going to say? What do you think? Should buy this one? Yeah, you agree? Yeah, I think so too. Even though the decision was really down to me. Right, the stuff that she's going to let, like car. No woman, well, maybe some wives do. Decides what car they're going to buy. The husband decides which car. He looks around, I know cars, this is the best car, this is the world. We're going to buy that one, right? Whatever it is that I think I ask, what, do you like this car? This car's good for you? Yeah, it's good for you? Yeah, we're going to buy it, right? Let her think that she's the one. Even if it was all like me, she doesn't know a car for, it's a blue one, it's a red one, I don't care, right? But her opinion, you like it, you're off you, let's get it. Hiya machlita, she's the one who decides. Right, she should feel the one that it's her, the one that's deciding. He had sodeket, that she's the one that's right.
For really major purchases like houses,
yeah.
Best thing you should do, go to the field.
Go to the field. For sure, you have to pray on it. You have to pray on everything, everything. Rav Nachman writes that if you acquire something, not through prayer, you didn't pray on it, either it won't last or it will be harmful for you. It either won't last or it will be harmful if you achieve anything without prayer. Because only something that's achieved through prayer can last and can be positive.
How does that work out with the concept? I think I heard from a star from Reggie Miller that saw. Whatever we have is this Swiss Armageddon.
Okay.
The bread, I don't know, 7-Up, orange,
it's all a gift. But it doesn't mean that it's going to last or that it's going to be helpful. It's going to be mazik. If I get money that I didn't pray for, right, that I don't pray on my panasa and I just wait for it to come, oh, I got some more money. So what do I do with that money? That money, it gets squandered, it disappears, and I don't use it for good stuff. Even though I think it's a gift, someone gave me $1,000, right? It's going to disappear. It's not going to stay. Money anyway does it, but as an example. And I'm going to use it on junk. I'm not going to use it on stuff that's going to be helpful. It's not going to have a lasting good result. Because I need to create a vessel for it. A holy vessel is prayer. So not everything in my life is a disaster. That's because I do pray. And I have a level of prayer that appreciates things. And people who don't pray, then nothing they have is you see, they're not nothing they have is a benefit, is a helping them. It's all damaging. Everything's taking them away from Hashem. Everything's making them more upset, more angry. It means that they want more. The person has 200, wants 400. Right? They have more ta'avot. They have more worries. The more they, more property you have, the more worries you have. Right? It's all can, everything can be. And to get out of that position, is there anything prayer?
Is it enough? The bracha, for example, in Shema Esrei, we say, the bracha on the sustenance. For example, is it enough to say that three times a day and recover for the money?
We know that everything needs prayer, and what we don't know is how much, right? What do we do normally when we want to pray on something? There's a mashal thing brought in Rav Arash's book. A person who goes into a department store, they're all different departments. And he has a wallet full of coins. And he walks around and he sees everything he wants. So he sees an oven. He wants to buy an oven. And he looks in his pocket and he's got some coins. And he takes out a coin, a shekel, and he goes and gives it to the guy behind the counter. And he says, also, I want a camera here. And takes out another coin. And I want that. Right? And I want a dishwasher. And takes out another coin. And he does that on four or five different things. And he says to the guy, so what have I got? And the guy looks down and says, nothing. So it's not enough. So the guy says, all right, I have to get some more money. I'll come back tomorrow. Comes back tomorrow and he does the same thing. Penny on here, penny on here, penny on there. And he says to the guy, what have I got? And the guy says, nothing. It's not enough. Come back. So he comes back and he does this day after day after day. Eventually, after a few weeks of doing this, he gives up. What was the point? I didn't get anything. Nothing. I didn't. Why? Because I never put enough on any one thing. I spread it out. I said, that's exactly what we do in our prayer. Hashem, please give me shalom bayit. Hashem, please give me a great hinuch for my kids. Hashem, please help me guard my eyes. Yofi, I spent a penny, a minute, a few seconds on each thing, and I know what did I acquire? But I didn't really achieve shalom bayit. I didn't achieve shmirat ha'naim, and I didn't achieve anything. I put money towards it. It's all stacking up nicely, but I didn't achieve it. I haven't filled the vessel yet. It's still sitting in the bottom and there's a few drops. What do I need to do, says Rav Shalom? Says I need to take one thing and spend an hour, 2 hours, 6 hours, over the course of a week. The more I spend, the quicker I'm going to achieve it. And when I reach the top and I achieve it, I'm going to see it works. And then I'm going to have chizuk to pray on everything else. Because I'm going to see it works. So I'm going to put all my efforts into one thing. Pray, pray, pray. Like, fill up, get my vessel full. I'm going to receive it. And now I've proven the case. And I'm going to use my prayer everywhere. But if I just do a little bit here, there, and everywhere, then after a while I give up and say, well, I've tried this praying thing. It doesn't really work. It doesn't work for me. Maybe it works for you. It doesn't work for me. I tried it. I've been praying for 20 years now. Every day. Not for you. Maybe you have. Everything has a price, you just don't know how much. When Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to come into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem himself made a decree that said, you're not going, I'm deciding, I'm Hashem, you're not going. And even that got over, could have, Vet Hanan 515, Moshe goes there, one more, it would have been enough. He got to the meniscus, right? One more would have been enough over the limit, and Hashem said, stop, right? So we see that everything has a price in prayer. Everything can be achieved by prayer. Right? Any decree, anything. Just a question of staying out there, staying in the field enough. And we don't know what that is. Some things are very little. Right? We know ourselves that some things we asked Hashem for and it just happened. Okay, it was like that. Why? Because the level to get over, the barrier was very low. Don't know why Hashem was decided for that, whatever. But some things are more important, especially if they're big things, like Shmirat Hanayim. Hashem's not going to give me that with half an hour prayer. I davened half an hour today, Hashem, and I walked out in the street, and I still stumbled. Come on, what do you call this? I prayed. No, that's a big thing. You're asking for a huge thing then.
Sometimes sometimes not good for us, right? Sometimes certain things in you fill up the vessel, but we won't get it because they're not good for us.
Well, that's because that really the we can say maybe, but the truth is, it's not good for me because I haven't yet filled it up. Meaning, why is it not good for me? For example, I'm davening on $1 million. Hashem, just give me $1 million. Give me $1 million. But right now, if you gave me $1 million, it'd be the worst thing in the world. I'd go buy a flashy car. I'd go chase girls. I'd go drink beer. Whatever I would do with it, right? It's not going to be good. So Hashem says, I hear your prayer. It's very nice, but I'm not giving it to you because I love you too much. I love you too much, and now I'm not going to do that to you. Right? But I want it. I want it. I'm praying, praying, praying. What happens? So now in that situation that you're saying, right now it's not good for me, so he's not giving it to me. But if I prayed and prayed, the prayer is meant to change me. Lehit palel. It changes me. It doesn't change him. Right? It just changes. So now, after 3 years of praying for $1 million, I'm now in a place where actually, I'm going to use that money correctly. I know exactly what I want it for. I know where I'm going to use it, and I go, how I'm going to help people, right? 3 years ago when I started, I was going to party. Now, I'm still on that same prayer, but I'm now, having prayed on it and understood myself a lot better, and why isn't Hashem giving it to me? Going through the question, Hashem hasn't given it to me yet, why not? Oh, maybe it's not good for me, why? Oh, maybe I'm going to, oh, you know what, Hashem, you're right. Okay, so maybe don't give it, give me this, I'm going to use it, right? I'm going to change myself. So the prayer still stays the same. I am going to get it, but I'm going to be a different person that can deal with it then.
Can I explain my sir? Because I'll say it's a segula for wealth. So if I can explain my sir properly, 10%, 20%. So won't this be not only this a segula for more wealth, but won't it take my money from not spending it?
It must be a great question. How you can tell? You've got chizuk from the Sitra Afo is trying to stop you.
Is it enough that I'm doing what Hashem wants me to do?
What, so I shouldn't have to pray?
Just
is that
much,
your question?
As much, I don't know. It's a segula for more wealth. And also, what it says, it's, oh, there's a concept to it. Protect your money too. You won't.
You're right. But it's a segula. It's a segula only into the extent of the amount Hashem can give me. Right now, where I'm holding, he can't actually give me very much because it's going to damage me. Hashem places the fact that it's going to hurt me above segulas. You did a segula, that I have a successful drug deal. No, it's not going to work. But I did a segula, come on! No, it's better that it doesn't work for you. I'm looking after you, you're right. And once Hashem deal with that segula, so what happens? The segula, it's got to be, so he moves it somewhere else. Right? All prayers, all avodah, it's never lost. It's used for something. It might not be used for what you want. Right? That's because Hashem knows better. Right? It doesn't go to waste. Right? Just like we have that with our kids too. Kids say, Abba, can I have this? And you say, no, not now. But the fact she asked you, Tov, next time maybe you're going to get. Right? Because she asked, but you're not going to get it now. So it doesn't go to waste. That fact that she asked is still there. Tov, maybe next time you'll get it.
What about praying for Am Israel?
Yes. What about it? It's a good thing. Right. So what's the question?
Well, that's the question.
Why is that? Explain the question.
You daven and daven and daven for Am Yisrael, and
look at this. Not enough. Am Yisrael is a big thing. Big thing. I can't expect that I can daven, but I don't think I can daven for Am Yisrael and then to switch on the news, not that I should ever do that, and see that there's a...
You don't want to see the news.
No. So, but what I should know is that whatever my prayers are for Am Yisrael, they're very effective. Hugely effective. I'm not going to see the answer, because if Hashem showed me the answer, well, there's a one-way ticket to gavadikness, right? To arrogance, to pride, if he shows me that davening you did on Am Yisrael this morning, all right, and I davened specifically that Gilad Shalit would be freed this afternoon, and look, it happened. But you don't want to know that, because you think that was you. Oy vavoy, right? You never get down off the ceiling.
We've been dominant for Jonathan Pollard for what, 20 something odd years.
Right, so if you have a Hashem today, it's going to happen exactly 12:46. I want you to free it, right? And he comes out at 12:46. You can forget your Avodat Hashem for the next 120 years. Right? You're now Sadik and Gadol Ador. Right? So better that we don't know, but you should know that your last 10 years of davening for sure helped. For sure helped. You don't know exactly how. When you get to Shemayim, I'll explain to you exactly how it was good, and you're going to be very happy and proud of it. Baruch Hashem, you say, thank you very much. But only then, not now. Not now. We don't see the results now. We can't handle the results. Yofi, how are we doing? Time. Tov, that's it for today. Till next week, have a good Shabbat. Thank you. That was nice.